Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to The Scorecard.
The manly sport of golf, where you can dress like a pimp and no one will care.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
It's such an exciting athletic sport to whack the ball, get in the cart.
I whack the ball that goes in a gopher hole.
Oh, you mean like croquet?
Okay, I put the hole hundreds of yards away!
With your hosts, Mike Esposito.
What an incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack.
And multimedia golf industry insider, Barry Cronin.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. So what's the problem?
I don't know.
On 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
People be quieter. I'd like to hear the grass grow.
To talk to you about Chicagoland golf and the sport of golf, and of course everything going on in the sport. We had a great PGA championship last week, Barry. We're going to get to that. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And Barry, it's good to be with you. And that was
always good to be with you, Mike. Always, yeah. An honor to be with the Mike Esposito. I know I've heard in the last couple of weeks you've actually been co-hosting shows after The Scorecard, which makes me feel a little bit violated here, like you're cheating on me.
Well, you know what? If my pal Bruce Levine needs a fill-in for Inside the Clubhouse, damn it, I'm going to be there for him. So
you're the man. You're very reliable. That's good.
Well, I appreciate that. No, and we are chock full of stuff to talk about today with golf. We have a Swing Thoughts segment. With Bryce Emery, who recently won the Illinois Open Championship. We'll go on the road again. One of my favorite segments that we've been doing at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Michael Kaiser will join us. He is the man behind the Sand Valley Resort up in Wisconsin, and some other interesting nuggets there with Michael, which we'll have a lot of fun with. Then live from the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, Ron Green Jr. will join us to talk about that, and also about Colin Morikawa and what happened down at the PGA. And Barry, why don't you and I start there, because that was quite a finish and quite a moment for, and I feel older every time I read this, the 23-year-old Colin Morikawa. When I was 23, Barry, I don't know that I would have completed 18 holes on my own, nonetheless winning a major championship, but that's just what Colin did last week.
It's incredible, the maturity that he showed. And you're right. I mean, 23 years old, he was 15 months before that, he graduated from college. So think about that. He was out at Berkeley, played out at Berkeley, and of course had played the golf course a number of times as a young man, as a student. You know, they played over there as a member of the golf team at Berkeley, and boy, he was so impressive in terms of his mental maturity, and just the way he went about it. It was his third victory on the PGA Tour since he left college. Just a few weeks earlier, he had beaten Justin Thomas in a playoff to win the Workday tournament out at Muirfield, and it was just terrific. It was interesting, Mike. You know, Brooks Koepka was really the betting favorite. We had Alex Mosselli on last week, and of course, you know, he and I were, it's got to be Brooks Koepka. He's the guy, you know, after all, he was bragging about it the Saturday before, the day before, saying, I've won. He had won 4 out of the last 10, and he was kind of like, hey, well, nobody else has done it. You know, Dustin Johnson only has 1, and Jason Day only has 1, and Jason hasn't been playing well in the last several years. And all of a sudden, Colin Morikawa, who hits the ball shorter than all those guys, turns up and wins the tournament.
Yeah, no, it was quite a sight. And if you look at how he did it, 65-64 in his last two rounds, he played his best at the end. He hit some unbelievable shots, and we will certainly talk about some of those. I know the 16th hole there was really, I think, what kind of propelled him in. I mean, it was, and the other fun thing for me, and I know for a lot of casual golf fans watching on television, is the leaderboard. I mean, it was crazy. At one point, Barry, there were 7 guys tied atop the lead, and if that doesn't make for interesting televised drama there on the golf course, then I don't know what does.
Yeah, and they were all really great names. You know, Jason Day was in there, and of course Paul Casey, who's 40 years old. You know, we've seen him around tour for many years, and a very likable character. Dustin Johnson was on the leaderboard, and then you had a younger guy named Scottie Scheffler, who's a big strapping guy. Looks like a tight end. Came out of the University of Texas. He actually won a tournament here in Chicago last year called the Evans Scholars Invitational on the Corn Ferry Tour. He won out at the Glen Club, and I remember seeing him, he won in a playoff, and seeing him, and I'm going, oh my God, this guy could be like a football player. So there he was out there playing, and he played great too. So it was a nice mix of quote unquote old guys. I mean, you know, I think about old guys, you know, and Casey's 40, Dustin Johnson's 36, but then all these really young guys, as you mentioned, Morikawa being 23, of course, Matthew Wolf. Out of who's from California, out of Oklahoma State, he's only 21, and he was
that's crazy.
He was right up there. So and even Koepka, an old almost over the hill at age 30. You know, it's unbelievable how young these guys are, So it was quite a deal. And you know, the other thing was, and I remember as we were watching, thinking, oh my God, 7 guys tied. how in the world are they going to do the playoff? Let's say that there were, you know, and there have been on PGA Tour, you know, five-man playoffs and, you know, and they said, and then the network, I don't know, CBS, whoever it was, Jim Nantz, said that, well, they're going to have seven guys playing off at the same time. So they're going to play a sevensome, right? They're going to play seven guys off the same tee at the same. They weren't going to, in other words, they weren't going to break the groups between, you know, four and three. Done it in that way, but pretty interesting stuff for sure.
Yep, and I talked or I mentioned the 16th hole. So Morikawa, you mentioned, not known for his driver, and yet he hit his driver within 7 feet on the 16th hole, made the eagle putt, and from there on out had the lead, and that kind of propelled him up. And I was reading earlier this week, Barry, an article with Colin, and I know you did a Zoom chat. We want to talk about that with Colin Morikawa as well.
Yeah.
But Colin, you know, and his caddy apparently deciding, you know, do I hit the iron, which he, you know, he's a better iron player than he is with the driver, or do I go for it? And he actually said, you know what, why not hit a great driver? Why not go for it? And he did, got it within 7 feet, made the eagle putt. And it's his first major, and he actually did talk about, hey, you know, people go their whole career. You talked about Paul Casey. You talked about guys as they get older and they're worried about trying to get a major. Well, age 23, Colin Morikawa got his major.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's kind of like when Jordan Spieth got three majors. You know, before he's only 25, and yet you know now. You know, he hasn't won in 3 years, and everybody was kind of like, well, he's part of the over-the-hill gang, too, you know.
So,
well, and that's... Even though we know he's not, obviously, but still, it's how quickly we forget, right, Mike?
No, and that's what's funny, and I actually saw Rory McIlroy quoted as talking about this. When you talk about guys who are, you know, they're no younger, longer the fresh young face on the tour, you know, they're guys that are, you know, heaven forbid, you know, they're pushing 30 or they are over 30, whatever. But you talk about it, guys who have had great success. And then, you know, it's not easy. This is why this is so fascinating, is that, you know, this stuff does not just automatically come. You have to work at it. You have your ups and downs. You have your Rory McIlroys and your Jordan Spieths and your guys who are some of the best, most talented players in the world. And then they can have seasons or years, whatever, where they struggle mightily, where they can't win anything, you know?
Right. And McIlroy hasn't won for years, and they're all still on his case.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you wonder if these kids come out of college. We see a lot of them at the John Deere because we get a lot of young players. We give exemptions to them. And by the way, including Colin Morikawa got an exemption to play there in 2019, finished tied for fourth. And that's where he actually secured his PGA Tour card. But we see a lot of them, and they, you know, it's a different. They come out of college, and they're bright. They're, you know, bushy-tailed and, you know, bright. You know, they're ready to go. And, oh, yeah, how can I help you? And this and that and the other thing. And then, you know, being on the PGA Tour and playing 20 to 30 events a year, travel, practice, sponsor obligations, et cetera, and so forth, media obligations, and all of a sudden it becomes like a grind. Oh, this is a job a little bit, you know? And not that the enthusiasm is lacking necessarily, but I think it probably ebbs and flows a little bit. You know, I don't know this because I've never played, you know, obviously on the any tour, but it's like, I think that's probably like that in any profession where the enthusiasm, you love it, you get into it because you just love it, and then it ebbs and flows a little bit. And I think maybe that's happened with Rory over the years, but I mean, with Spieth, I don't think it's happened with Spieth. With Spieth, I think it's just, he can't figure out how to find the fairway on a regular basis, and that sort of undermines him. But I do think a guy like I think he'll be back, and you can't imagine that Rory McIlroy would never win another major. I mean, it's crazy. He's just way too good. But he was playing great this year prior to the little pandemic suspension of play, and then he's come back and he just hasn't been sharp. So it's you know, who knows? Golf is a completely insane sport, as I learn every single, not every time I play, but every hole I play. To hole, it's just madness. You know, one hole, it's like, oh, great. Hey, I made a par. That's awesome. You know, huh, look at me.
That'll sustain you the whole day, yeah.
Well, it sustains you then until you get to the next hole, and you go, okay, I'm on a roll. And then it goes like, oh, 30 yards out of bounds, right. How did that happen? I was so good 5 minutes ago. It was unbelievable.
Well, lots of our listeners can relate to that, and your co-host can relate to that as well. Hey, if you'd like to check in with us, 312-644-6767 is our telephone number. That is also how you can text us. I have the text line up. We are here for you if you want to check in. Text Zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And I found the McIlroy quote while you were talking there, and I'm glad I did because it is kind of funny. So this is Rory after Sunday's round. Maybe I'm just not as good as I used to be. I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like the golf that I've played in the majors has been sort of similar to the golf I've played outside of them. And I've won some big events and played well and had a good season last season. But he doesn't know, Barry. He doesn't know if he's good enough, as good as he used to be. And this is one of the top players in the entire world.
Right. And this is why the media guys love Rory, because he's pretty transparent about how he's going through life. And people appreciate that, because you can't imagine, it's unimaginable to think that Tiger Woods ever would talk that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
True. That's true. Yep.
Of course, Tiger Woods never had a lull in his career until the whole fire hydrant incident back in 2009. But you can never imagine a Tiger ever having that. Now he's a little bit more honest now because he's older and a little more mature, and he's not as I don't know, whatever.
He's been humbled a bit, hasn't he?
He's been humbled a little bit, and I think he's matured quite a bit because of his children, et cetera. You know, at some point you just sort of, you know, your ego sort of declines a little bit, and you grow up, and you're not just complete. Just total, you know, egocentric, I think is how I would put it.
I found this from Brooks Koepka. You mentioned Koepka saying that, you know, after Saturday, you know, he felt good about his chances. You know, he's a guy who's a four-time major champ and blah, blah, blah. So here's Koepka talking about Morikawa and more importantly about the other younger guys out there. He's really good. You see these guys coming out of college now. They are ready to win. I think that group... Mm-hmm. Of him, Matthew Wolf, Victor Hovland, they're impressive. It's impressive what they do. They come out of college and they're ready to play here. Hats off to him. So Brooks, you know, Brooks Koepka, thank you, Brooks, for, you know, the nice doff of the cap to Colin Morikawa. Yeah. But it's true. I mean, this is not. You think of guys who have had great success in the game of golf at very young ages, and it's not a long list. You have guys who come out and maybe win once, but the consistency, you just mentioned Tiger, you know, and Tiger's an all-timer, of course, but, you know, the list of guys who say, oh, yeah, he came out and, you know, he's 23 and he's winning stuff, or Matthew Wolf, 21 years old. I didn't realize how young he was. I thought he was a little older than that. I mean, that's amazing. These guys are you know, college age or just out of college age, and you mentioned the rigors. And, you know, listen, a lot of our listeners be like, oh, yeah, rigors of playing professional golf. Well, you mentioned it's a job when it's practice, sponsor obligations, you know, 30 events a year, traveling, being away from your family, not partying like a 20-year-old with all your friends, etc. I mean, this is not it's golf, but it's not just something that you can just go out and screw around like you and I would go out and golf on a Saturday morning or something.
Right. When you think about the time factor, it's like baseball, right? 162 games a year, whatever, and that's a grind. That's a real grind, and because they're playing almost every day. But you think about golf, same thing. They're playing a pro-am on Wednesday, then you play. Hopefully, you make the cut on Friday, so you're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then you travel Monday, and maybe you have to play. You know, if you're not a top player, you might want to get into a Monday pro-am somewhere so you can make a few hundred bucks to pay your caddy for the week. And then hopefully you can play a practice round on Tuesday, you know, that type of thing. They're playing golf, 18 holes of golf, at least almost every day. almost every day. And then they're on the driving range. They have to practice her putting. They have to practice her short game. They have to hit driver. You know, so they're doing this all the time. And everybody, they love it and everything. But man, it's, think about it. I mean, I don't know. I play a couple of days in a row and I'm ready to put the clubs away for a week. You know, yeah. What I mean? Because it's like, wow, that's pretty. That takes a lot out of you. Now, obviously, I'm not 23 either.
Right.
But you know it. But you had mentioned about the young players. You know, Spieth came out and won mm-hmm. three majors in the first few years of his career. I mean, and then Justin Thomas won the PGA. Now they're contemporaries. They're from the class of 2011.
Does that make him 30, 31, Spieth, something
like
that?
No. Spieth is 25. And I think that Justin's a couple years older. I think he's 27. And even so, they won majors when they came out early. And they've won a lot of tournaments too. I mean, I think Spieth has won 12 tournaments, and Justin Thomas is about the same regular tour events. You know, they won in addition to the majors. So they came out really guns blazing. And now, though, you know, Justin Thomas, he's won tournaments and everything. But, you know, now it's like, well, here's Colin Morikawa. And I guarantee you, leading into the U.S. Open at Winged Foot in September, all the Golf Channel guys are going to be talking about, well, Colin Morikawa, you know. Of course, they didn't say that to him about the PGA. But he'll be on the list. And it's almost as if, you know, with Spieth in a slump and Justin Thomas played okay at the PGA, I mean, for him. But, you know, it's almost like, well, hey, the new generation's here. So could you guys kind of move off the stage? Because, you know, and the other kid was Cameron Champ. He's 25 years old. He hits it on your driving distance statistics. He hits it about 1 yard shorter than Bryson DeChambeau, and he barely looks like he's swinging about 80%. DeChambeau's coming out of his shoes every time. He looks like he's gonna have to have back surgery at the end of every round. And Cameron Champ, he's like, oh yeah, boom. You know, he finished real high at the PGA. Thank you.
Yes, he
tied for 10th. So, it's almost like, well, here's this new generation coming in, taking your place.
And a few things, Barry, we need to head to break. Spieth is 27, so I
did Google. Oh, he is. All right.
I Googled that while you were doing that. So we will talk about him. We will also talk about that old guy, Tiger Woods, when we come back. Some Tiger news as well, and more on the PGA when we come back. Experience the best at the Glenview Park Golf Club. Country club conditions at public club prices. Book online at golfglenview.com. That's golfglenview.com or call us in the golf shop at 847-724-0250. Again, 847-724-0250 to speak with one of our friendly golf shop staff. Golf Glenview, experience the best. We'll also have swing thoughts with Bryce Emery at 640. That's that and more on the scorecard when we come back here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Should I just let this play out, Barry? I don't know if I can even talk over this.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Who knew that Randy Travis was born in North Carolina? Not me. I had no idea.
That's Barry Cronin. I'm Mike Esposito. We are back on Scorecard on Chicago Radio 670 The Score. You know, it's a great, nice little segue as we head down to Greensboro, North Carolina for the Wyndham Championship. That's our weekly tournament, and as Barry and I like to do, we like to have the local music scene represented by for whatever tournament we're covering, whatever tournament we're talking about. So, Greensboro, North Carolina, Barry, the Wyndham Championship is going on right now. We have a four-way tie atop the leaderboard right now.
Yeah, you know, and obviously there's still a lot to talk about with the PGA Championship, but
sure.
Some of the guys who were in the PGA, are down there in the Wyndham. I remember when Greensboro is where it is. It used to be the Greater Greensboro Open for years, and when they got that date sort of right before the playoffs, I think everybody in the industry thought, well, that's probably not a very good date, you know, because you're not going to get, you know, a lot of the good players are going to take the week off and not play. Mm-hmm. And yet they have a pretty good field down there this week. Tom Hoge is not a brand name type of player, although he was a medalist years ago at the co-medalist at the Western Amateur. But and Siwoo Kim and Taylor Gooch, not exactly up there in the quick vocabulary of people who know about golf, but you know, Webb Simpson is playing there. Obviously, it's a kind of a home game for him. Patrick Reed is in the field. Even Paul Casey and Kevin Kisner, who were contending last week at the PGA, and of course Koepka was in the field, and he missed the cut.
He missed the cut. I was just gonna say, yep.
Yeah, Spieth is in the field. He made the cut on the number. So these guys are either trying to, A, get into the FedEx Cup playoffs or improve their status so that they can, you know, get enough points to get into the Tour Championship. So it's turned out to be a pretty good tournament. And historically, it's been a good tournament. Sam Snead won there 8 times, and even Seve Ballesteros won there. So,
how about that?
In addition to Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson, all the other guys from back in the day, the great triumvirate of American golf.
Some of the legends of the game, Barry.
Legends of the game, yeah, exactly.
I mentioned in the last segment our number 312-644-6767 for either text or calls. Our buddy Ming texts in, Barry, regarding Jordan Spieth, who we were talking about last segment. He won 3 majors in a short time, hasn't won in several years, now barely makes cuts. If not over the hill, then what is he, up and coming? This is from Ming. Your reaction to that? I mean, he's certainly not over the hill at 27, but the career arc of a Jordan Spieth, if you would have, you know, looked at this a few years ago, you'd said, okay, well, he's one of the heirs to the throne, so to speak. And now, as Ming mentions, you know, and we talked about it, this is what's confounding about the game of golf. He is in a pattern of struggle right now.
It's crazy. When he came out and won the 2015 Masters and U.S. Open consecutively, I mean, he was on a roll, obviously. Mm-hmm. Then he came in. He missed the playoff at that year's British Open by a stroke. He finished tied for fourth, and then I think he was second at the PGA that year. I could be mistaken on that, but then he went and won the British Open in 2017, as we all remember, when he hit the ball, you know, God knows where, and had to get a drop on the driving range, and wound up. I mean, it was just such an exciting tournament, but no one would have believed that had been the last tournament that Jordan Spieth won. And yet here we're sitting here in 2020, and he hasn't won a tournament, and he really has been struggling. Obviously, still a great putter, still an unbelievable short game, which is the way, to me, the short game in putting is really sort of analogous to defense in football. You know, if you can do that, you can prevent, you know, it really helps you. It covers up a lot of ills in your game, Spieth is just not. When he was playing well, he had an unbelievable iron game. He was very accurate with his irons. He was hitting the ball on the green all the time. So when a guy who's a great putter gets on the green in two, he's going to make a lot of birdies. And Spieth just hasn't been doing that. And then he's hitting the ball off the tee for some God knows why. Can't get the ball in the fairway on a regular basis. I'm not sure what his actual statistics are, but the average is two-thirds, you know, 66% of the time they hit it in the fairway, and he's not doing that, and that's problematic, because sometimes he hits it great, and now people think, all right, you're on a roll, like I talked about before. You know, you go, oh God, I had a great hole.
Right?
And then you go to and even the announcers, you can hear it in the announcers. Oh, Jordan Spieth shot 67. You know, is he on a roll now? And then the next day he goes out and shoots 73, and you go, Oh, okay. Well, I guess not, you know. So yep. these players go through a huge lulls. I don't know if you saw anyway, go ahead. So you were going to ask me something.
No, I was going to ask you about the Spieth stuff and then the Tiger news from yesterday. He confirmed that he'll be playing. No surprise, this was expected, but that he will play in the Northern Trust next week in Boston. It's the first leg of the FedEx Cup that he is going to play. And so we'll have a Tiger sighting next week.
Well, that'll be great. It's always good when Tiger plays, even when he isn't playing well. I noticed that, you know, they have so much coverage on golf now. Long before you get to this, to the network coverage at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a major or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it's on Golf Channel starting so early, and you see players who make the cut, but they're not playing great. They're not going to win. But Tiger was in that group last week, and so was Mickelson. So mm-hmm. you can watch them play, and you watch them, and they hit bad shots, but then all of a sudden they hit these transcendent, unbelievable golf shots, and you go, wow, I'm sure glad I'm watching Tiger. So it's always great when Tiger's in the field, and I think one of the reasons we haven't seen him much of this year is that he was really trying to get ready for this next month of really intense golf, where we've got these three right. weeks in a row of the playoffs, and you got the U.S. Open, and so that's going to be a lot of golf for his back. So we'll see how he does.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you too, because we know the injury history with Tiger, and if he plays well, and if he has to play, this could be a lot of weekends in a row. Which is, I mean, it's great TV, it's great theater, but. You know, does the body hold up for Tiger Woods if he has to play consecutive weekends?
You know, that's the thing. It's to me, that's the wild card in his life, I think, at this point, mm-hmm. where, you know, he came out and he played well on Thursday. I think he shot 68 at Harding Park, and then the next day came out not so good. He made the cut, but not great. And that was, you know, you could argue that possibly that was a back issue. But then he played okay on the weekend. Mm-hmm. So it just seems to be his health up and down every week.
312-644-6767 is our number. If you'd like to text us, if you'd like to give us a call, we would love to speak to you. Barry, we need to take a quick time out. When we come back, it's time for our Swing Thoughts segment. We try to help our listeners, help the average golfer, the score listener, improve their game. We'll talk to the 2020 Illinois Open champion, Bryce Emery, who also plays out of White Eagle in Naperville. We'll talk to Bryce coming up next. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Start your day on The Score with Molly and Hall, live at 5. For Chicago. From Chicago. They're live and local, covering the Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks. Molly and Hall, delivering the sports stories that matter to Chicago. Mornings 5 to 9, only on Sports Radio 670, The Score, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670, The Score, and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
okay.
that.
Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking.
And now, The Scorecard presents Swing Thoughts. Some free advice from the best teachers in the game.
And it is time, Barry, for Swing Thoughts. And let me correct myself, because our next guest works and plays out of Black Sheep Golf Club in Sugar Grove. He won the Illinois Open last week at White Eagle. I mixed up my golf courses, and of course I mix things up all the time. So apologies to our next guest, who joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Bryce Emery is our guest on Swing Thoughts. Good morning, Bryce.
How you guys doing?
How's it going, Bryce? I just when Mike said that about that you were out of White Eagle, I there was a collective heart attack and stroke that occurred out there at the at Black Sheep, because I know the guys are probably listening.
Just reading my notes wrong, guys. I apologize.
I know. I probably wrote the notes wrong, so it's all on me. It's all about me. I'm the one that's bad. So Bryce, welcome to the show. Thanks so much, and congratulations for winning. On winning the Illinois Open, it's fantastic, and and you did win it out at White Eagle. And so we thought we'd have you on to talk a little bit about that, and also maybe a little bit about how you won it, how you went about winning it, and maybe give some thoughts to our listeners about how they could improve their games. So tell us about it, Bryce. You shot a 71, 66, 71. You finished at 800 par, and that 66 tied the modern course record in the second round, which, by the way, was set in the first round. So you did a good job there.
Yeah, that was definitely fun to add my name to that list, especially since Tiger Woods had the old record from 1998, I believe. So it was it's fun to say I could beat him at something.
That's good. And your background is, you know, you turned pro in 2013. You had won the CDGA earlier that year amateur. And you played at Northern Illinois for college, and I know you've been playing Florida Mini Tour events, and you're going to try to get into this Evans Scholars Invitational that's coming up in September at Chicago Highlands. So that'll be cool. Were there any things that you did when you were playing at the Illinois Open at White Eagle that might be able to help the average golfer? Maybe when you got lost a little bit in your game, was there a stretch? Obviously not on the second day when you shot 66, but are there times when you sort of lose your feel, or just all of a sudden you have a couple of bad holes in a row and you go, oh my God, what's happening, and how do you get it back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially with the lead going in the final round, you know, the nerves are definitely, you're much more aware of what's going on. You know, everyone's trying to come chase you. So my goal for that round was just try not to make any mistakes, you know, especially off the tee out there at White Eagle. There's a lot of water, there's out of bounds. So, you know, just trying to find the fairway at any cost is what I was trying to do, which meant even, you know, I didn't hit driver off a lot of tees that final round. You know, second hole's a par five. I hit an iron off the tee. You know, just
how about that?
Fairway.
How about that? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, did you just hear Bryce Emery just said that he hit an iron off the tee on the par five? This is a news flash. So why did you do that, Bryce? How could you do that? I mean, aren't you didn't come there to lay up, did you? I mean,
no. No, it's not always the sexiest play to hit an iron off the tee on a par five, for sure. But, you know, there's water that kind of pinches in. Past where I'd be hitting drivers, so I just kind of, you know what, widest part of the fairway is right here. It was a shorter par five, so I figured, hey, you know, I hit an iron off the tee and get in play and just try to, you know, get it on the green, and I still bogeyed the hole anyway, so that, I mean, why did I hit iron? But, you know, I wanted to try to eliminate all the trouble out there as much as I could, and I did a pretty good job of that because I hit 13 fairways in that final round.
Well, and Bryce, it's funny too, because we were talking about that in relation to you know, the PGA Championship last week and some of the phenomenal golf that we saw. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to be the biggest hitter. You don't have to be Bryson out there hitting 420 yards or whatever on your drives. It's a nice lesson for the regular guy out there going to play 18 this morning. Hey, you know what? Take your best shot. You're not out for yardage. You're out for best score.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you can handle getting made fun of by your buddies for laying up, it's not too bad of a play.
Well, we're used to that when it comes to our golf game. So
one way or another, I'm going to get made fun of, you know, that's for sure. And Bryce, it isn't as if when you were a younger guy, you weren't grabbing driver every time either, correct?
Oh yeah, I mean, it took me a long time to realize that, you know, you can't hit irons up the tee and just get it in the fairways is the first goal in every hole. And but yeah, back in high school, growing up and stuff, I'd hit driver everywhere.
Are there other ways that that the average player can save strokes via course management?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, like I said, anytime you can get in the fairway off the tee, that's the first goal. But then, you know, not going at every single pin, you know, just because, you know, you see that flag and that's the ultimate goal. I mean, you know, sometimes it's a lot smarter to hit it 20, 30 feet away from it and get it on the green and take your chances two putting from there. When, you know, you go out to play, you can end up hitting the water, you know, bunker or something, and next you know, you've turned a easy par into a five or six.
Bryce Emery is our guest. He plays out of Black Sheep Golf Club in Sugar Grove and just won the Illinois Open last week or recently out there in Naperville. And we talked, Bryce, earlier in the show about, you know, some of these guys who come out of college, whether it's Jordan Spieth or Tiger Woods, who certainly historically is one of the best to ever do it, but come out and have immediate success and then, you know, the trials and tribulations that are along the way. You've had a long road. I mean, you played it at Marmion, you played at NIU. You've had the bumps in the road. You've had your successes. You've had your struggles. How do you keep a level head? You're out there. You're still trying to do it. You're still doing it and winning like you did at the Illinois Open. Mentally, how is that that you keep yourself prepared, and how is it that you keep yourself on a straight path?
Well, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, this game can beat you down, especially when you're trying to grind it out and you're driving from small town to small town every week. And but it's just kind of been a long process, and you gotta love that process of trying to get better each day. And, you know, as long as I feel like I can keep getting a little better here and there, you know, I'll keep going. And hopefully if I can just get hot at the right time, I can, you know, that's the other crazy thing about this game is you can change your life in 1 week. You know, your Monday qualifier for an event, finish top 10, and not only are you taking a nice payday home, but you're in the next event. So you can kind of parlay good play into, you know, the next step and making it to the tour. So that's just kind of the little carrot that keeps you working hard and, you know, keep going.
One of the things I remember talking to Zach Johnson about is that, you know, he was not a well-known player in college at all. And I said to him, why is it that you continue to go? I mean, you're the most unlikely. He said, because I kept getting better. And my coach said I was getting better. And is that how it is for you, that you see improvement in your game consistently?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like in the last couple of years working with the pro Kevin Healy at Black Sheep, my game has completely changed. And, you know, driving has become more of a strength for me, when in the past it could be a liability. And, you know, so as long as I can continue to improve on that, and, you know, just like Zach John said, I remember he said the same thing. If I got better by the end of the year, I kept going. So that's just kind of what I've been doing the last few years. And I feel like I can still get, you know, a lot better, and hopefully maybe get out there one day on the big tour.
Yeah.
So how does the rest of 2020 then look for you, Bryce? I mean, you win at the Illinois Open. Do you have other things coming up that you will be playing in?
Yeah, I've been playing some small events on the Tour Red that some buddies of mine started that I grew up playing junior golf with. It's a tour in Chicago, Columbus, and Nashville, so I've been playing some of those. And then I applied for the sponsor's exemption into the Evan Scholars, so find out next week if I get that. Otherwise, I'll do the Monday qualifying for that one, as well as the Corn Ferry event in Springfield. So that's kind of at least the next couple of weeks, you know, with the pandemic and everything, a lot of things were canceled and rescheduled. So just kind of playing whatever I can and, you know, hopefully keep having some success.
Well, that is fantastic, Bryce. We really appreciate you joining us, and thanks for the advice. I'm sure that now everybody listening on their way to the golf course will leave the driver in the bag when they get to a par five and pull out their five iron or their little spoon, their little hybrid, 22-degree hybrid.
Yeah, hopefully they don't make the six like I still did playing it, but hopefully they can beat their buddies today and maybe get a free beer or something after the round.
Right. There you go. Well, Bryce, we appreciate your time today. Thanks very much for joining us on the scorecard.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you very
Anytime.
Much.
Anytime. That is Bryce right. Emery, the 2020 Illinois Open Championship, champion, I should say. He plays out of Black Sheep Golf Club in Sugar Grove. Proud NIU Husky and keeping the dream alive, Barry. I love stories like that. I know we talked about this last night when we were prepping for the show, but you know, that's a guy, he's plugging away. He's trying to get on the big tour. It's It's as simple as you said. You know what? You see improvement. You feel like you're getting better. You keep going. You keep chasing.
Yeah, boy, it's a tough life, you know, being on the edge of greatness. It's almost like the backup singer movie, you know, Two Steps from Stardom or whatever the name of the movie was. I can't remember. But, you know, the backup singers who are just so great and who make such a big difference. And yet they never become stars. You know, they're just sort of on the edge. And it's a tough place to be because you wonder, wow, should I keep going or should I just, you know, go over to, you know, sell insurance or work at the PGA Superstore or maybe start teaching. So it's a tough deal being on the edge, especially as you get a little bit older, you know. But on the other hand, things do change, and you see guys who go on this Champions Tour, age 50, who are somehow able to qualify and get on that tour. I mean, there's a lot of money out there, and there are no cuts. You don't get cut once you qualify. You're in. So,
yep.
Anyway, so it's cool. It was nice to talk to Bryce about that.
Yeah, and some good tips too for our listeners about, hey, you know what? It's not always try to whack at 350. It's play the hole the best you can, and you know, of course, naturally, he bogeyed the hole that he was telling us about using iron on. But
of course,
the principle is correct.
Of course, because, you know, nothing ever goes the way you think it's going to go. So, you know, that's especially in golf and life, Mike, you know, as we philosophize here on the scorecard early in the morning on a Saturday.
That's what we do. And you mentioned Zach Johnson. We'll get back to him during the 7 o'clock hour. He was honored this week. We'll talk about that honor for Zach Johnson. You mentioned him during our discussion with Bryce, so we'll do that.
Got the Payne Stewart Award. Yep, that's cool.
We'll talk about Phil Mickelson being on TV. Golf Week had some rankings of best courses in each state. We'll definitely dive into that. But coming up next here on the scorecard, we will go on the road again. And yes, you will get to hear Willie Nelson, but Michael Kaiser will be our guest. He is the developer of the Sand Valley Resort up in Rome, Wisconsin. He is up next here on the scorecard with Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.